3 verse, it's also there in Hebrews 3 verse 15. Hebrews 3 verse 7, the latter part of the verse. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We have today. We do not know if we will get a tomorrow. Even the Lord Jesus taught us not to let anger go from one day into the other. I've met people who've been very sad for the remainder of their lives because their loved one went out to work and they'd had an argument and they hadn't put it right. And then they died. And there never was a chance to put it right on either side. It's very sad. But we have today. To Christians, James writes about it and says that we are not to think and take for granted the day. Go to, get on with it if you like. Ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Christians don't know what will be on the morrow. Unbelievers don't. And Christians should remember that their life is but a vapour. It's the picture here. Just the water vanishes immediately. The life may vanish immediately like a vapour, appears for a little time, and vanishes away. We ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live to do this or that. Well, believers should never forget that we live today, that today is the day to please the Lord. I always used to joke and still occasionally use the saying, why do today what you can do tomorrow? But of course, that can't be serious. We should do today what we can do today, because we do not know if we're going to get tomorrow. And this is the Bible emphasis. Today, 3 times, Psalm 95 and twice in Hebrew 3. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Our hearts are hard by nature. We're used to hardening our hearts against different sorts of people. People who beg, perhaps, or people who we know are going to ask for money and waste it in a way that we would never spend it. We say we harden our hearts. But it is a mistake to harden our hearts against the things that are to do with God, are to do with the Lord Jesus, are to do with eternity. Harden not your hearts. Now, in Hebrews 3, we're reminded of people who did harden their hearts. They did it consistently over 40 years. I'm always amazed when I read through in one go the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt and being taken for 40 years because of their own sin. 40 years before they got to the promised land. And week after week after week, they murmured about what was going on to such an extent that they said, when we were in Egypt, we had the leeks, we had the garlics, we had the cucumbers. And now we're in the desert and we've only got this manna. It's comparing manna with leeks and garlic and cucumbers. Anyway, when they were there, they didn't get many leeks or garlics or cucumbers. We always think that the days have gone up better. We look back to golden days that never were as golden as we imagined. Oh, it was nice when we had our brothers and sisters around. Do you remember those lovely days? Well, of course it's good in retrospect to think of them. But they weren't all golden days, were they, when you were getting on with your brothers and sisters? And it applies like that through many situations of life. We look back and we think they're golden days. But for 40 years long, these people hardened their hearts. They resisted God at every turn. No matter if he punished them, no matter if he produced water out of the rock, no matter what he did, providing manna, they disobeyed. They murmured about it. They complained. So that 40 years of resisting the truth of the gospel will not bring somebody any nearer to being saved. If I do talk to people who are 40, 50, or 60 who are not saved, and I can get round to talking about the gospel, I sometimes say, if you're 40, or if you're 50, or if you're 60, what evidence have we got that you'll ever believe the gospel? People tend to say, when I'm older, when I feel like I'm dying, I'll turn to believe. If you haven't believed in 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, what evidence can there be that you'll believe in the next 40 years, or 50 years, or 60 years? It turns on today, doesn't it? Well, these people provoked God. This is a word that's used, provocation. His behavior provoked God. Sometimes boys at school that I remember, and it perhaps was a thing that was done more in days gone by, but you know, they would fight other boys if the other boys called their mum a cow or something like that. They'd beat them up, forever breaking up fights at school. And they called their mum. They insulted their mum. Boys got affected. You wouldn't really think it from boys, but they did. They took it out on the others. They were provoked. God is provoked by the constant refusal to believe the gospel, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, to love his beloved Son. He is provoked. In another connection, this word provoking is use it as a smoke in my nose. Wonderful picture, isn't it? What does smoke in your nose do? Makes you choke, makes you cough, makes you splutter. God hates these things. It provokes him. This is a smoke in his nose when people hear the gospel and don't respond to it. They hear it once, they hear it 1,000 times, but in that once or in that 1,000 times, they do not respond. So we're told in Hebrews 3, verse 10, I was grieved with that generation. I was grieved with those, but not all of them. There is an exception. Some, when they heard, did provoke, but not all that came out of Egypt with Moses. But the Lord was grieved with those who refused the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was saved when I was 16. It was a friend with whom I sat next to at school who said, won't you come to church with me? We go train spotting every Saturday and we do this on other days. But never see you on Sunday, won't you come to church? And so I did go to church. Don't know this day to this day whether the man was boring or whether it was just that the natural man doesn't understand things that are spiritual, but I didn't like it then. But they had a pulpit exchange, and the minister from the big church, which was very near my school, came and preached, and it was different. I believed the gospel. I believed him. Then, I was 16. I was one of those who was chosen when I went into sixth form to become a prefect. Mostly it was the next year up, but I was one that was chosen to be one. And suddenly I couldn't imagine. There were in the church where I was saved loads of boys who went to the school, and their behaviour was as bad as mine had ever been. And though they'd grown up in Christian homes, they did not believe the gospel. And I couldn't make it out. How is it that such a wonderful gospel that I, not being brought up in a Christian family, had come to see? How was it that they could get to 13, 14, 15, 16 and not believe in these wonderful things? Well, they didn't send messages to one another in church because they didn't have mobiles in those days. But they did Google with each other and they did mess about with each other during the service. They did not take on board. And the Lord is as grieved with that, because he saves little children. And for a little child to refuse at 4, refuse at 5, think it's not for him or her at 6, refuse at 7, refuse at 8, all this grieves our Father. He's dealing with adults, the people who came out of Israel. He was grieved with this generation. And he said that they always err in their hearts. They get everything wrong. They will not do the one thing that is required to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. They were grieved. They grieved him. They do always err. They have not known my ways, but not in ignorance. They could have known my ways. 40 years they could have learnt my ways. 40 years they could have trusted me and gone through with things. And they needn't have sinned before they went in the wilderness anyway. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. It's a terrible thing. We think, all right, I'm 10, I'm 20, 30, 40, I'm 50, I'll believe 10 years on. I believe if I'm 50, well, I'm 60, or so on. I'll believe before I get to the end of my life. But what does God say here? I will harden their hearts. They've hardened their hearts, I will harden their hearts. So I swear in my wrath, my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. There comes a time when we've been so used to refusing the gospel that even if we wanted to, the Lord wouldn't allow it. It's a terrible state to be in. It's a terrible, terrible state, but it does happen. So Paul preaches, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. It's something we all face. It's something that I had to face. Because by nature we're not saved. By nature we're not going to enter into everlasting life. Not in heaven anyway. By nature we do things that are wrong, and some of them are catastrophic. And so the Lord says through his scriptures, take heed lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And he says, persuade people. exhort one another daily while it is called today. Preach the gospel to them, persuade them, tell them, ask them, beg them to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe on him with all their hearts. Exhort one another daily while it is today. They may not have a tomorrow. You may not have a tomorrow. But today you have God. Today is an opportunity to believe. Today is an opportunity to turn to him. Today is an opportunity to dedicate your life to him. Today. You can't be sure there'll be another time at all. There may be thousands of other times. But you don't know that. Today. Turn to the living God, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin, of course, is deceitful. The Bible tells us that Satan was always a liar from the beginning, before he even came to Adam and Eve. And if you want to study how lies work, just read over and over and over again Satan's conversation with Eve. The insinuations. The false hopes. As if God had not always wanted the best thing for Adam and Eve anyway. But suggesting no. God was only interested in what he could get out of them. All those things. What lying does, it is deceitful. In the case of Eve, it made her get the whole thing wrong, and she thought that Satan was right and that what God had said was wrong. And Adam stuck up for her. But sin is deceitful. If you have a habitual sin, you may get a very guilty conscience at first. But when you've been doing it long enough, you won't feel that way about it. It's okay. I've done it for so long and I'm still here, I'm all right, and nobody else seems to mind. I'll be okay. And that's the most dangerous state you could be in, because you won't be okay. While it is called today, exhort one another, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We are made partakers of Christ. Hebrews goes on to say, 3:14, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, when we believe, when we consecrate, when we do it, and we hold it to the very end, while it is said today, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Don't do that. Don't go anywhere near that. Don't allow yourself to be dragged into it. Some, when they had heard, did provoke God. They heard the call to believe. They observed what God had done week after week. But they provoked God. They didn't believe. And then so, the conclusion of Paul as he writes is, with whom was the Lord grieved for 40 years? What grieves God? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Yes. He's grieved with sin. But that's not the whole story, is it? To whom did he swear in his wrath that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believe not, the Lord Jesus came for sin. Sin is forgivable. But not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ grieves God, because you're throwing away the possibility of being pardoned for those sins you've got. The sins grieve him, but the worst grief is not to turn to him for the pardon of those sins. To whom swear he that he would not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see, says Paul in his conclusion, that they could not enter in because of unbelief. God's rest means God's heaven, the place where he lives. And God says, I'm not going to have them. And who is it that can't go there? Well, it's those who did not believe the gospel. And the conclusion is, we see that what brought them into that state that they could not believe is their unbelief. That they could not enter into salvation because they'd rejected it before. Now boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring. Today, while it is called today, harden not your hearts. May the Lord help us in that way. And we sing together from Gospel Hymns, number 608, Salvation by Grace.